Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our special board meeting this morning. I think this will be very short. I would like to start with our customary moment of silent reflection to reflect on our responsibility to our students and our employees as we contemplate the return to school, followed by the pledge to the flag. So if you can, where you are, please rise. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you very much. Would like to point out that there was an executive session for legal and personal matters that was held on personnel matters, excuse me, that was held on Monday evening, June 15th. And looking at the roll, I think all of the school board members, with the exception of Mr. Hartman and Mrs. Trout, have joined us for this meeting. And now we'll move to approval of our agenda. I'll entertain a motion for approval of the board agenda.
Make a motion.
I move to approve the agenda as is.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions about the agenda? All those in favor of approval of the agenda, indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no. Okay, the agenda is approved. And now we move to our first of two opportunities for public comment. If any one from the public would like to make a comment, please indicate your desire to do so by raising your hand on the Zoom, and you will be recognized by Mrs. Dietz.
Mr. Blevins, at this time, no hands are raised.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on. There are no special presentations. We'll now have the superintendent's report, Dr. Dahl.
Thank you. And we'll go right into the approval of the resocialization of athletics and student activities. I do want to thank certainly the board members. I know this is a meeting that was not previously scheduled. I thank our community members. We have several in attendance. Obviously, timing is of essence with what we're managing, preparing for the start of the school year. So today we want to specifically just take a look at athletics and student activities. We recently learned that through the Pennsylvania Department of Education, prior to reopening student athletics, that we are required to develop and gain board approval of an internal athletics health and safety plan. Knowing that the summer months are critical to conditioning our fall athletes, also knowing there are other critical student activities that occur in the summer, such as our marching band program. We have linked leader training, Dallastown swim program, student council leadership preparation, to name a few. We elected to develop a more comprehensive document than required that highlights expectations and internal accountability for both athletics, but also for our student activities. So in essence, the document is not only going to highlight athletics, it will be student activities. So this morning, we present that document with hopes of seeking your approval. And just to emphasize, although I do not place priority of athletics or activities over academics, the timing of this approval is critical since we want to ensure that our student athletes and activity participants are afforded every opportunity provided and begin the important task of reorienting them to their school. Additionally, it's important to consider that as a public school entity, we are required to do our best to meet expectations as set forth by the governor, as well as the Department of Education and other health officials. To that end, there may be aspects of the plan that some may not personally agree. However, as superintendent of schools, I believe our staff did a great job of finding a balance between community expectation and governing mandates. To that end, I'd also like to personally thank Dr. Bumstead, who's with us this morning, as well as Mr. Luckenball in the athletics department for their diligence in developing the plan placed before you. They were provided less than a week to develop this comprehensive plan, and I fully support their efforts and the content of the plan. So at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Bumstead, who's going to provide a very high-level overview of the plan and certainly afford anyone the opportunity to ask questions on the board prior to seeking your approval. Dr. Bumstead?
Thank you, Dr. Ball. I appreciate your comments. Full transparency, I have to give full credit to Mr. Luckenball. Josh, in a very short amount of time, did a tremendous amount of legwork in examining other plans, the other districts that came out of the gates early, collecting the resources, reviewing those resources, and putting together a wonderful draft. We, working together and bringing in our trainer and our coaches, really went through a variety of revisions, and then, of course, allowed Dr. Dahl and central office to review it to make sure that it meets both the mitigation of COVID-19, given the circumstances, as he said, complies with guidelines and recommendations from the government, but also is feasible, affordable, and efficient for us to implement. So the plan itself is broken into two phases. The first phase really speaks from July 1, and we targeted July 1 because our student athletes and student participants for the activities piece, our coaches, advisors, certainly our parents, and even our larger community were clamoring for some clarity, like what's happening, when are we going to get the ball rolling? But of course, we want to make sure we're doing this safely to protect our community. So the first phase is July 1 through July 27th, and it really deals with the non-mandatory workouts that almost all of our sports and athletic programs engage in, as well as any activities, including, as Dr. Dahl said, our band programs, all of their meetings that they do in advance of the actual season. During that phase one, we've really focused again on mitigation. And a big part of that is the actual students and coaches are responsible for self-reporting, self-screening. Another big part of the plan is on education. So we are really actively promoting the idea, hey, you have to self-screen. Here are the signs to look for. And if you have one or more of these symptoms, you are not to participate. We also, if a student is through our attendance procedures that are going to be done every single practice, every workout session, we'll be recording absences and presences, students that are present. Also, if they self-report, recording that so that we make sure that we're keeping our student athletes and staff safe. Another big piece of that phase one is that we limit our gatherings to 25 individuals per group. So what that means is if a group, for example, football has more than 25, let's say they have 50 participants, they have to separate into two groups no larger than 25. We also encourage our advisors and coaches to make sure that they're delineating those groups so that they're not co-mingling, again, to try to mitigate the transmission of COVID. Another big piece of the phase one, and you'll see it also in phase two, is the facilities cleaning. Building and grounds, Brian Fitz and Jim Heilman have been tremendous supports, very willing to assist in that, making sure that our facilities are thoroughly cleaned before and after workouts, providing the support of the supplies and resources so that during workouts, all hygiene procedures are being attended to and cleaning procedures are being attended to as well. We've also put in specific language about hydration. Again, this is the education piece, notifying that, hey, the old days of sharing water bottles or common watering trough type devices are out. We've very much are emphasizing individualization with hydration, as well as clothing and equipment to every degree possible. So that would be our phase one, July 1 through July 27th. Phase two begins July 27th, and it's through which time, the language we have there, through which time Pennsylvania lifts formal mitigation levels. So really this covers us for the foreseeable future. Again, you'll see a lot of the language is the same. A lot of the practices we have in place for cleaning of facilities, social distancing, all of those elements are in there. The biggest difference is that we are now moving beyond the 25 limitation. We still are encouraging our advisors and our coaches to set their practices and events up to minimize large group interaction, but it does establish that we, at any one meeting, whether it be a practice, workout, or competition, no more than 250 individuals. And that includes spectators as well, and the staff necessary, obviously the student participants, the advisors, but also any staff that's necessary to run the event. As we move down, other recommendations, transportation. Obviously, that's a part. Once we get into phase two, we have to transport to away events. We have spoken to that. And we are, in the past, it was many of our coaches required students to ride on district-provided transportation. We have made that slightly more liberal. Obviously, we're strongly recommending and encouraging all of our students and coaches to wear masks. But we are also giving parents the opportunity to, with notification in advance, to transport their own child to and from events. In this section on other recommendations, we talk about the educational piece, what are the signs and symptoms of COVID-19, what do you do if you're sick, and that language comes right from CDC and the Pennsylvania state government. We talk about what happens if an individual tests positive. That is an automatic 14-day removal. At which time we require them to consult with their primary healthcare provider. We also mention in there about close contact cases. So if an individual, for example, lives in a home and a family member is tests positive, there's language to that end that they're considered close contact. We strongly encourage them to consult with their primary healthcare provider and school officials for guidance. So there is that reporting piece. The notatorium, because it's its own beast, if you will, it has a separate plan and protocol as established by USA Swimming. So we'll be following that. We also, as Dr. Dahl alluded to, this doesn't just cover athletics, but activities. Those activities include driver's education, so we have measures in place to get that up and running. We have quite an established wait list due to the closure, so there are a lot of folks that are clamoring for that service, and now we believe we can do that safely. Again, the plan speaks to education. We also have specific check-in procedures. So as student athletes and coaches are arriving to these workouts, we spell out for them exactly where they should be going, how they should be going through this process, again, to minimize the spread, to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. Another piece that's worthy of noting is that during phase one, locker rooms will not be available. We will be opening those up for phase two, but again, under very specific parameters with very specific cleaning protocols in place. So if there are any questions, I know one other piece that I wanted to speak to is competition. Currently, the YAIAA has a subcommittee on competition that is meeting. And for systemic purposes, and this was something that the athletic directors late last week we met and are all in agreement, is that we need to all be on the same page in order to make sure that, you know, when we have these competitions, how are things like roster sizes for traveling teams, participation of certain elements, for example, marching band, cheerleading, et cetera, at away games. We are looking to maintain consistency in those in actual competitions. So when those guidelines for competition come down from this committee, we'll be able to put those into place as well. And they will be coming in. We have a little bit of time, obviously, because competitions don't start until later. But just to highlight that point, that we are looking for a systemic approach with our partners across the league. Any questions, myself or Mr. Luckenbaugh, who is here, will be able to answer them.
The only, if I may, just one other point, and it's more not specific to the plan, but specific to our annual protocol. You'll recall that we annually approve, normally during the June month, the activity athletic coaches for the fall, and actually starting last year for the full year. We will be, and Mr. Fisher will be bringing the list, the names to the board meeting during the July meeting. So we'll be approving those officials with the understanding this is a unique year. Some of those activities and events will get started prior to that approval. It's just the nature of what we're addressing, but I want to just be very transparent with the board on that, because that has historically been a concern. With that said, any questions or comments that can be addressed at this point?
I have a quick question. I don't know if it's for you, Dr. Dahl, or you, Dr. Bumstead. First of all, this report or this presentation, kudos to everybody. It's a very thorough and very solid plan. My concern is that we've always been kind of at the very edge of the custodial personnel to keep the schools clean on a regular basis. And with all of the aspects that are before us, not only athletically, but in the classroom and in the different buildings, we're going to substantially tax that group of people. Do we have enough people and supplies in place to do all of this cleaning, not only for the athletic program, but also for the classrooms and the schools when everything comes up to full occupancy?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question, Mr. Wingard. And I will say for the summer months, we do believe we have the staff in place based on activities, and we have a good handle on when those activities will occur. When we get into the regular school year, and that's really what you're now tipping into the DAST health and safety plan that we're working and plan to bring to you at mid-July, you will see some recommendation for that need. In light of what we have to address with over 6,300 students, 800 plus staff members, we're going to need some extra support in order to maintain cleanliness of all buildings. But that will be addressed later. But for purposes of this plan and for the summer, we think we're covered for now.
Thank you. Just, I think it'll definitely reassure parents too, to know that we have the personnel in place to make sure that everything is taken care of. So thank you everybody for that.
Thank you.
I also want to chime in. I'm very appreciative that it's a full ranging activity and not just the PIA response. So thank you for hearing us on that. A quick comment on transportation. I completely understand the need or the desire to allow families to make their own transportation. Has that been reviewed legally, just to make sure that there's no implied coverage of linkage to the district or their policies for that time period that they're on the road?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think part of this just really comes down to choice for families. And when they are electing not to have their children ride on the provided transportation, because we are providing that level of service, legally that responsibility falls back on the driver or the family through that insurance. So the district would not be liable.
Okay, could we make sure that that's clear in their acknowledgement of providing transportation, just to make sure that we don't have a gap or a challenge?
Yeah, or perhaps need a waiver of some sort signed.
Very good. That's a very excellent point. We'll look into that.
Thank you.
We do, just for clarification in that language, we do require the parent or guardian to make a written request prior to such action. So we do have acknowledgement on file that they are choosing or making that choice.
And I think based on the question, we could strengthen that somewhat, include the liability piece. I think it would be a good.
Just try to clear up some ambiguity, just so we have our point communicated. That's all.
Yep. Good point. Any other questions?
The other question I have is, this whole document's just recommendations, so I assume there's no penalties associated with anything?
Penalty would be, obviously, I wouldn't call it a penalty. I think it's a natural reaction. If a child has COVID, they cannot participate. But they're really, these are recommendations. We're going to be living, and students are... employees are going to have to follow these recommendations. So they're not necessarily guidelines. These are things that we're going to cement as best practice. Within the guidelines, there are some level of individual choice and personal decision-making that needs to take place.
I have a couple of quick questions. And maybe this is in the document and I might have missed it. If someone in a team tests positive, what happens with the team as a whole? Because if they've tested positive, they've already been in contact with the members of the team. So have we addressed what we will do with that team?
Yeah, and we gave ourselves some flexibility. And just in transparency, the original draft, we talked about specific sanctions that would have to occur for those that came in contact. We wanted to first, and what it really is addressed in this document is through consultation with the healthcare provider, as well as consultation with administration. And what we are finding is every situation is so unique, the level of contact is so unique, that we didn't want to spell out a specific, to Mr. Bensel's point, a sanction that would occur. It will give us some flexibility. What you're approving gives the administration some flexibility to make best decision based on that. You will see from the broader Dallastown Area School District Health and Safety Plan that we'll present in July, there is some mandate of communication when a case occurs. I would suspect that would also occur in this case, where we would be communicating with families. Should a team member, for instance, come down with that, and there's a potential for contact. But that is a really, you're really getting to the root, Mrs. Thiessen, of a very challenging piece that schools will need to navigate, not only for the summer. It's a little easier when you're talking small groups, but when you're talking large masses of students coming in at one point in time, that contact tracing, who are they in contact with? And those are some of the details that we're continuing to work through for the broader plan coming up in July.
And then one other, and this is probably a no-brainer, but I'm assuming you guys are meeting with all the coaches as soon as this is approved, make sure that they understand what needs to be done, the safety issues and things like that.
Absolutely. The communication and education piece is paramount in this plan, making all of our coaches aware. Mr. Luckenbaugh and I have a communication prepared that's going to go out later on today. After the plan is, if and when the plan is approved, for all of our coaches on how they are going to begin to implement and communicate with their student athletes.
And I'd also like to give Dr. Bumstead and Mr. Luckenbaugh great credit for, they've also a lot of feedback from coaches, advisors, prior to developing the plan. So there's been some conversation prior to this as well.
Thank you.
I just have a couple of clarifying questions, more than anything. And I too would like to echo the fact that looks like it's a comprehensive plan, and I'm appreciative that it was put together, and I respect the speed with which it was put together to meet the time frame. Number 9 under recommendations indicates that we'll identify staff and students who are at higher risk. I won't read the whole thing. I realize we're going to be straddling and struggling the line with HIPAA all through the entire COVID process of reopening. My only concern is if, you know, I'm a do what I say, or say what I do and then do what I say kind of guy. With the limited staff we have available across the board, you know, are we in a position to really make that identification? And if we suggest that we're going to make that identification and we don't, does that put us at additional risk? I mean, do we need to be the ones that are identifying, or should our recommendation and plan suggest that people are at higher risk come to us
for accommodation? That's a great question. I mean, I think it could be written either way, Mr. Pantano. There is what puts me at rest. There's already a natural process for that. Prior to a participation in some, specifically with the athletics, there is some type of emergency medical form that's completed. It's reviewed by our athletic trainers, and also the coaches have that on hand. So there's a signal at that point in time too. So there is already a review prior to the start of some of these activities. To your point, I think it could be written either way, but I feel some comfort in the way it's written based on our practice.
I don't have a problem leaving it the way it is. If we're going to follow Mr. Lytle's question to secure liability on the transportation side, can we just make sure that if we say we're going to be making the identification, I'm just cautious that if we fail to make an identification, does that leave us open because we said we were going to identify? That's a concern. And then the only other question I had is under other recommendations. I'm always dubious when recommendations or plans reference a separate list of protocols that are not attached. It indicates that under transportation, we're going to follow the Reliance transportation protocols. They're not in here. I don't need to see those. I don't need to have those. But Dallas Town School District needs to have those. So if you're telling me you have the Reliance protocols that you're going to be following, then I'm okay with that. If we don't have the Reliance transportation protocols yet, then I suggest we better get those before we adopt those into our plan.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, why don't we entertain a motion for approval of action item 8A.
I make a motion to approve action item 8A.
I have a motion by Mrs. Houston. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Mr. Wingard seconds. Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, Mrs. Kirby, please call the roll.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item 8A is approved. And once again, excellent job, Dr. Bumstead and Mr. Luckenball, and to the administration. I really appreciate your fast and excellent work on this. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Dahl, do you want to talk about action item 8B?
You bet. And with the ever-changing circumstances surrounding COVID-19, our district is preparing, as previously mentioned, a Dallas Town Area School District health and safety plan for the start of the new school year. I know for our community, and just based on the abundance of emails and phone calls I've received, that is highly anticipated. The plan will ultimately serve as a guide and outlines a safe reopening of our school. All school officials, and I thank our administrative team, DAEA, working hand in hand and even with our board, are in the process of providing feedback, developing a plan that will reflect the results of the recent survey completed by our school community and staff. Just so you're aware, a finalized DASD health and safety plan will be presented to the board of directors for approval during the Thursday, July 16th meeting. Especially for those community members that are listening that may have that question, it is our intent to cement and memorialize a plan for the start of the school year on July 16th. We will be sure to communicate the impact of our plan to all district stakeholders once final decisions and approval occurs. So with that said, as we spend countless hours preparing for the exciting yet daunting task of reopening schools, one thing has become very evident, and that is time to prepare our buildings and staff for a healthy and safe reopening is paramount and is essential. As such, in anticipation of this unique challenge, it is my recommendation to alter or previously approved 2020-2021 calendar at a glance. The request is not made lightly, and the decision of the request was made knowing the overwhelming task of equipping and preparing our buildings to ensure a safe return for our students and staff. And that, please, I want to emphasize that again, the primary driver in this decision is to make sure that we have ample time to prepare our buildings with the proper equipment, as well as making sure that our staff has the appropriate time and increased time to receive in service for planning for the upcoming year. So the new calendar, just to do a quick highlight, what we're looking at, it does change the start and the close of the school year for both students and staff. For staff, we'll start because they start earlier than students. They will report on August 31st. Previously, in the current calendar, they report August 24th. We would add two additional in-service dates to the beginning of the school year, which will be critical to providing staff with the needed in-service related to our reopening. And then you will notice that August 31st through September 3rd would be counted as an Act 80 day. So that would allow us to meet the required threshold mandated requirement of student days for the state. For our students, September 4th would be the first day of school for students in grades 7 and 9. This would all be an adapted day for orientation purpose only. And also pleased, in the previous calendar, it was just ninth grade. I thank Dr. Peters. He's also looking to add that orientation for our seventh grade students, which we've included. September 8th would also serve as the first day of students for all students. And again, that was previously August 27th. So going from August 27th to September 8th. The last day of school for both students and staff would be moved to June 10th, 2021, and it was previously June 8th. So it really adds 2 days to the close of the calendar, and it's really also falls within that same week. The revised calendar also changes the finish and start of our various trimesters. We had to make some adjustments to our trimesters and some minor alterations to offer parent-teacher conference time. Additionally, new with this approval, you will find two versions of the calendar. And Mrs. Dietz, would you mind showing the other calendar? We continue to seek, obviously, approval of our traditional calendar, which includes all the essential information Mrs. Dietz just showed. But at the same time, I want to thank Mrs. Montgomery for creating a more user-friendly version for our students and parents and community. So there are identical calendars, but the community calendar is a little more easy to follow, something that you can potentially post on your refrigerator or in some type of index, but it also then it models our traditional calendar. Just to close, I recognize, changing an already approved school calendar, it's not ideal, and it's certainly a difficult request, and I appreciate, the decision you have to make. However, we are currently navigating difficult times and want to assure our district is in the best shape and prepare for reopening in the fall, and that all of our district stakeholders are updated of this change as soon as possible. So hence we had the meeting today, because we want to make sure that we can communicate out. We appreciate your flexibility to this adaptation, which will enable us to provide essential staff training and preparation and safe return of our 6,427 students. So with that said, certainly available to answer any questions prior to seeking your approval.
Are there any questions for Dr. Dahl?
I think it's wise to communicate early for such a substantial change. So, and as your county is still adapting, I think you're being proactive ahead of this. So I think us giving approval is wise at this time. I'm glad you're being proactive on that. Also knowing that you've probably worked through so many different scenarios, just for clarity, you've talked about the days in the calendar. Do you see any adjustments to the window of a specific day? Are we pretty locked into it'll still be an operational day as per previous status quo, correct? We're not adjusting start time. I mean, we were pretty regulated on start times, end times, and the flow of the buildings, correct? So you're correct. Not envisioning any changes daily.
No, at this point, we're not anticipating and you're getting into more of what the plan is. I think this is really the first keystone step leading into the safety plan that we're developing. Will provide us some additional time, but we are not looking to make changes to start or stop times.
There's so many hybrid and so many people are in flux that I think it would be good for us to communicate to our families as they're returning to work, as they're worried about childcare coverage and all the different issues. It seems basic, but we probably should be proactive in marketing that as well, so that upfront they know what their expectations should be. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay.
I'll just make a real quick comment. When this was presented as an info item, I made the comment about changing the last day of school and adding time on. The part at the beginning doesn't bother me at all. But I think Mr. Lytle's point's well taken. I think getting this out, communicating it early, and I've come to the understanding and the realization, and this is the comment, I'm more interested in getting the kids back to school and having the teachers and the administrators have enough time to prepare for that reentry. So I think it's a small price to pay to make sure that that happens. So I'm okay with it.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. Would entertain a motion for approval of action item 8B, which is the adoption of the updated calendar.
I make a motion to approve item 8B.
I'll second it.
Have a motion and a second. Any additional comments or questions? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item 8B is approved. Okay, we have no information items. The calendar of board events is posted for your review. There are no conference requests. So we'll end with any board comments or correspondence. Okay, have our second and final opportunity for comments from the public. If you would like to make a comment, indicate your desire to do so by raising your hand on the Zoom screen and be recognized for your comment.
Mr. Blevins, I did see there is a a chat feature, and there was a question specific to the calendar. If you're comfortable, I will just briefly address that. The question was how many days for the school then? Under PDE rules, it still would maintain the 180-day threshold. We are, though, counting, you're really seeing 2 to 3 days that would be counted as a Act 80 day. So that would lower that from a student perspective, 2 to 3 days as typical. But just to be clear, and I appreciate the question in the chat feature.
Mr. Blevins, there is one hand raised. Ellen Connolly would like to make a comment.
Okay. Thank you. Mrs. Connolly, you may make your comment.
Good morning, everyone. Just want to thank Dr. Dahl for making us aware of the special meeting. Obviously, it's not always easy for us to, check the agenda and when all of you are meeting. So we appreciate that communication. Also, Mrs. Kirby personally contacted our DAEA rep, who typically attends the meetings and takes notes for us, to make sure that she was aware. So thank you again for that communication. I know everyone is swamped with the preparation and the work that needs to be done. Also want to thank all the administrators involved in opening up for our athletics and activities. And specifically, I want to acknowledge and recognize the coaches, the advisors, and the athletic trainer. Obviously, they are making themselves available beyond their season obligations. I know all of you know that, but just want to put that out there on the radar, because I know some of them have already met 3 times in the last 2 weeks, and there are many more to come. So it's just a acknowledgement of their dedication to our students and families for our sport and activities that need to start in the summer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Connolly.
Mr. Blevins, at this time, no other hands are raised.
Okay, very good. Thank you all for your participation, and our meeting is adjourned.